And welcome to another library rant with me, Ange Fitzpatrick, and other people. I'm not here alone, guys. I'm joined by
Matt Borg.
I like the idea of pretending she was sadly doing a library rant alone. Hello, Andy Priestner here.
Hello, I'm Donna Lonclo, and I'm here in Cambridge.
Hooray!
Yay for Donna. We are in Cambridge, and possibly the most Cambridge location possible. We're sitting by the edge of the River Cam, just next to the punting station. We have willow trees, some wildlife.
Blue skies.
We're drinking overpriced, slightly warm ale. It's just a perfect Cambridge situation, isn't it?
I just want to point out to the American listeners that the ale is not, in fact, warm, but it's what the English call room temperature, which is quite cool to the normal human being.
Cellar cool. So usually it's just Andy and I, but we've decided to team up with some guests who've come to Cambridge.
Well, I don't know. Matt's almost regular
now.
Four now.
This is his fourth. I think he has to get a special prize for the next one for his fifth. Yeah.
Like a silver, I don't know, carriage clock or something.
Or just a badge. I'd be quite happy with a library badge.
Can we make one?
You could make that happen. Yeah, a badge.
Or maybe a hat.
Okay, a badge.
Just a badge.
Yeah, a badge. We'll make you a badge.
Is that a digital badge?
No.
Okay. Oh, there's that thing, wasn't there? About
yeah,
badges.
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 Yeah, you're going to upset Simon.
Simon doesn't care about badges.
An actual badge that's of value.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking of getting the old badge making thing out from the teens.
With the buttons.
Yeah. No.
Just a badge. I mean, I've not asked for much before, guys.
Okay, we've got it. We've got it on the list.
Yeah, I think he has mentioned.
Now I sound whiny and annoying.
Yeah. Again.
So the reason we have Matt and Donna here, apart from it's great to see them, is we've just had a meeting about the upcoming UX in Libraries conference, where we discussed everything from food to updates on how many people are coming along to what kind of activities
prizes.
We will do. And prizes. Yeah.
£3,000 worth of prizes.
See,
I
again,
know,
Andy.
For the winning team, £3,000 worth, provided that we have £3,000 to spend.
I feel like we should be playing Iggy Pop right now.
I like the rash promises that Priestner makes and then expects the rest of us to keep up. Yeah.
£3,000, people.
And the winners get a badge.
the team size
with
is 100 people.
£3,000.
So anyway, sign up, £3,000. That's the new tagline.
It's pretty exciting though, isn't it? We've all the speakers are finalised.
You almost said you like that, you believe that.
I did. Speakers are finalised, lots of people have signed up. We're looking at some sample menus as well.
We?
Yeah, I want to talk about the unicorn menu.
Yeah,
sounds good.
Which
that
is
must be illegal, a unicorn menu.
We need to put a disclaimer. If we're really going to serve unicorn, I feel like we should warn people before it's served to them. You know, you wouldn't unsuspectingly eat.
This is free-range unicorn.
Okay.
You wouldn't be unsuspecting if it was the horn. You would know what it was.
Not everyone gets the horn, though.
No.
Which slice you get.
That's for keynotes.
Ange said the horn. As a vegetarian, what's the alternative for unicorn?
Well, you get a tofu version of unicorn. Like cornicorn.
Tofu
unicorn. Tofu unicorn or cornicorn. Your choice.
And the horn is moulded out of cashew nuts.
Yeah.
Nice.
What
lovely.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Isn't
that really
obvious?
Good.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah.
If we're having a fish course, it's going to be narwhal. But I'd just like to introduce you to some of the things on the menu, just because they're written in that wonderful catering speak. So we could, to start with, have pig cheek with glazed faux celeriac and horseradish risotto.
Glazed faux celeriac.
So I don't know what faux celeriac is, other than something that isn't celeriac.
It's not celeriac. Like celeriac's hard to find.
It's everything in the world that isn't celeriac,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Could it be meat? Could it be faux celeriac that's actually made out of meat? You know, in the way that you've got faux...
See, she might be right.
You've got tofu ham or tofu... It's
vegetables going the other way,
which
isn't it?
Which part of the animal is the faux celeriac?
It's meatballs.
It's meatballs. This is food as theatre, isn't it?
Well, I think it might be.
It's pretty. And the other one I wanted to tell you about was the sticky toffee pudding with caramel gel, candied apple, and brown butter ice cream.
It's the gel I don't like.
Caramel
there.
Gel, that sounds
like... It sounds like toothpaste that they've flavoured.
Or something for your hair.
Yeah, a personal care product.
So would you like to elaborate on that, Dan?
No, I will not. I will leave it to your listeners' imagination.
We all went out for lunch today, and Andy was complaining about hand wash, which was it coconut. Strawberry and cream? Or there was coconut as an option.
Well, I was just sitting there being manly as usual. Matt, stop laughing. Yeah. And I had to use strawberry and cream hand cream. So, you know, I had to balance that up by having a wild boar burger.
And chorizo.
And chorizo, let's not forget that.
Yeah. That's why we started with wild boys, because of the wild boar.
Can I just say that in the ladies' room,
Donna.
A lovely ginger and grapefruit.
Yeah, there was something with... it was very citrusy, wasn't
it?
Wild mandarin was involved.
Bracing. It was almost manly. Perhaps they switched them. Because they knew you were coming.
I mean, the rant has never really been that inclusive of listeners, but this is possibly the least inclusive we've ever been.
Everyone uses hand cream.
You all use hand cream, yeah? Send us a postcard.
We'll hear about it later.
Rushing out to the shop now. So, should we do some hellos to some listeners?
Yeah,
some
at the beginning rather than at the end.
Because we usually
the music.
Do it in the music, so let's just shout out some names.
Yes, let's.
So, if we don't say your name, you don't really count. Is
we
that
don't
the wrong?
Care, yeah. I think that's a message. That's a message. So, who should we say hello
to? No, I think this is dangerous. Let's not do this.
Should we just start listing people we like?
It's going to take very long, would it? Matt, I'm sure you've got something to add at this point. I don't even know what that was.
Andy's use of technology today has been hysterical. He's been trying to send a tweet for about 94 minutes.
No, hours. He spent 3 hours trying to send 2 tweets.
They're gone now.
And I want everyone to rush to Twitter to make sure that they see those tweets, because they
the
were
hashtag...
hard won tweets.
The hashtag
totally
is
out of context now, but great.
But the new hashtag is hashtag leave Lanklo leave. Sorry, Lanklo leave.
Lanklo, por favor. Yeah.
Because she stood on the grass at King's College.
No, I was genuinely quite worried.
Upset,
I was really quite upset.
She didn't care. She just stood right on that grass next to a keep off the grass sign.
I did. Matt was really worried.
He was more worried. Wasn't
yeah,
than anyone.
He was not quite standing all the way on his feet. He was ready to run at any minute. He was convinced the porter was going to come. Screaming across the grass and
running so fast his bowler hat would fly off in the breeze.
Fly off, yeah.
A university proctor would have to be involved.
Perhaps, at
the very least.
He'd be arrested in Latin.
But now, here's the thing, it's all over Twitter. So what are they going to do now?
I know.
Can we start a campaign already for Free the Lanklo One?
I think it's a little early.
Yeah, but keep it in mind.
Depends how long it takes to send the tweet.
Put a pin in it, yeah.
The boys have been pretty bad with the technology today, actually. I think I've just had to help Matt connect to the internet. So.
And it's a good thing you wrote that blog post about how to connect to the internet when you're out and about in Cambridge, because otherwise...
We would have been screwed.
We'd have been in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit more about this blog post, Ange.
So, I wrote a blog post listing good places in Cambridge to connect to Wi-Fi hotspots and also to get coffee so that our students could work outside of the school and sort of collaborate in Cambridge.
And they really liked it.
They liked it. And more than that, they liked the idea that we were providing information that wasn't strictly tied to their course and to their information needs at that moment. We'd thought about where they might want to work, you know, after the first week, once they've got bored of the seminar spaces.
I think we need to explain the noises. That we're not in
what
in Andrew's bondage dungeon.
There's not enough room for four in there.
Murmurs of various kinds. There's punting happening around us.
Yeah, and they're chaining up the punts.
People are actually punting past us as we speak.
I would really like for chaining up the punts to become a euphemism.
I think it is now.
Okay.
I think you've done
chaining
that.
Chaining up the punts. A personal summer.
Yes, the wave
I think
of the
this
pear.
Is, this is your gift. The wave of the pear.
Euphemism is my gift. If I were a superhero,
really?
Euphemism would be one of the things that I could do.
Cool.
It's not saying what she means, girl.
So I think we've reached that point where we're going to talk about the most annoying thing of the week.
Most annoying thing of the week. Apart from my singing.
That
right?
was such a good jingle.
It was, wasn't it?
Right to Radio 1.
It was really good. And it was even a little bit annoying, which is good. Yeah.
Well, that was the point. Yeah, yeah, I did put something.
Can we have
that.
A repeat of it?
No, I can only do it once. So what is the most annoying thing of the week?
Well, I think Oh, Matt's ready. Matt's going to tell us.
Donna highlighted this to us earlier. Apparently, there's a new list of top words. Word of the year, 2014. Mm-hmm. And the Chambers Dictionary does this every year. And this year's word of the year is overshare, apparently. Yes. It's fine. Which is described as beautifully British and yet subtly devastating. But what we took particular...
I thought oversharing was American.
Oh, right.
I thought that was like what we did.
It sounds
as a
American.
It does.
Sounds like something Americans would do.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's our listenership in America. Yeah. Please share this. Well,
the one person, the one American listener is here.
No.
But the word that was most annoying was digital native. And it's annoying that this is included for many reasons, including, most obviously, the fact that it's two words.
Yes, it's not Chambers. It's not a word.
It's not even hyphenated.
But I think we need to hand over to Donna, really. Digital natives, tell us.
Do you want to hear the description that they give and tell me why it's so
utterly wrong? Yeah, you need to read, first of all, the description of what they...
It's also now raining.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah. Digital native, they define as a person who has learned to use computers as a child.
That makes me a digital native.
Yeah. So here's the thing.
This is why it's called the rant.
Yeah. So this is why I wrote a blog post not long ago ranting about digital natives, because I was actually quite tired of ranting about digital natives. And the idea that you would use this phrase to describe somebody who learned to use a computer as a child, as a native. First of all, if you're a native, you're allegedly born to something. You don't have to learn to use it when you're a child because you're just born to it. And so it's even more meaningless in that stupid definition than it is in the way that people use it when they think that it means something.
This is going to take a while, folks. Strap in.
No, I'm almost done. If the idea is that you want to be talking in reasonable and constructive ways about why people do and don't use technology, and there's technology being used just the other way, they're taking lots of pictures while they're standing and drinking on the can. So this is... Age has nothing to do with why people do or don't use technology. It doesn't. Stop it. It hurts me. It hurts babies. It kills puppies. Angels lose their wings because every time stuff. Somebody says the phrase, not the word, the phrase, digital natives. Please, please stop. At some point, we're going to have to put a telethon on because...
of all the kittens who've been killed.
Yes! It's inhumane. So you can help.
Would we
you
call
can
it
help.
A digital native telethon?
Oh no. My God, it's a kitten.
So here's an alternative. May I suggest an alternate metaphor? I happen to have been working on this project called Visitors and Residents. You can look it up. You can Google it.
Oh,
it's
that sounds
there.
Good.
Yeah. So good. Doesn't that sound good?
Not just
and you know
about
what?
Problem,
it's not tied. It's not tied to age.
So hang on. You can say... Anyone. A visitor and resident.
Could be the same person, could be both a visitor or a resident.
OMG.
Depending.
Stop the bus.
Right there. Depending on what they want to do. Sometimes you just want to go Google something to find out what the name of that actor is. Sometimes you want to have a drunken conversation with your friends about that television show that you're watching.
Person of interest at the moment for me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Sorry, segue.
Sometimes you want to live tweet, perhaps drunkenly, the Star Wars movie that you're watching with your children. Sometimes. But it doesn't have anything to do with how old you are. It doesn't have anything to do with age. So...
Giggle.
You guys can be really, really happy that it wasn't actually the word of the year. That was just the runner-up. So the other annoying thing...
Imagine how cross you'd be if it was actually your word of the year.
Just in, hope for humanity.
So I can only assume that they included that on the list of runners-up just to piss me off.
I think it was.
Right? I think they knew I was in town. I think they knew I was going to be reading the paper.
Is it time to admit our part in this?
Surprise!
Just for me... I'm still annoyed.
We tried to find out how bad this digital natives thing has got, so we looked up some tabloid newspapers here in the UK, and we found out from The Express that digital natives killed Diana.
I'm not surprised.
Did you read that headline in the Mail as well?
What was that one?
Digital natives give you cancer.
They do, though. It's true.
Yeah. I'm not surprised.
90%
useless
of all cancers.
Digital natives.
Caused by digital natives.
Yeah. Every time. Yeah. Visitors and residents don't do that.
No.
Have you heard of any visitors and residents cancer cases?
You know, they weren't involved in the Diana conspiracy at all.
Gives you gorgeous skin.
Does it?
Amazing.
And keeps kittens alive.
Alive.
And angels with wings and babies happy.
So
happy,
if people wanted to find out more about the visitors and residents spectrum...
So they can go to the Google. And there are a couple of different places.
Ben's going to hate that.
Yeah. We'll provide a link to the Google, Ned. Don't worry. Yeah.
There are a couple of different places. So I have a blog, donnalonclo.com, and there's an awful lot of my posts about it. My colleague Dave White, davowhite.com, he blogs about visitors and residents.
He's good with bicycles in the park as well, isn't he?
He is. And occasionally meeting with friends at the pub, depending.
I know. Mm-hmm. But only... Yeah. Vaguely attractive.
Only vaguely.
Drink soft drinks.
There is also an info kit with JISC on visitors and residents and using it to evaluate your services.
Excellent.
And things like that. So these are all places that one might go if one wanted to keep the puppies alive.
There's lots of things going on with visitors and residents as well. It's actually a usable tool. We've used it in teaching of the social media driving license. I've never felt
yawn. Yawn when I say it.
But the digital natives moniker has never been useful. You know, it's never really been described accurately. It's never really been defined. I don't know how to use it, but with visitors and residents, I think there's really a model there for our users and for our service and how that should be deployed. So yeah.
Excellent.
Tweeting Star Wars while drunk. That's
thanks
a good idea.
Okay.
So I think it must be time for our regular slot of Inspector Gadget.
I must say that Donna is so impressed with the amount of technology that goes into this podcast.
I'm thrilled. Did you learn how to use computers when you were a child?
I came out of the womb tweeting.
That's why it's taken so long.
I know. That one damn tweet about Donna at King's. 42
So our gadget of the week is the same one that we're actually using to record this. Audio Boo has changed its name and it's now Audio Boom. So what difference has an M made?
Well, initially I was kind of thought, I quite liked Audio Boo, but then now the more I thought about it, I thought it's not a very punchy name. Audio Boo's a bit too cute. Let's make some noise, people. Audio Boom.
Boom.
So I'm on the plus side of the thing, which isn't a plus thing, but I said it.
It doesn't seem to have broken, I think, which is the main thing from my point of view. It still is easy to use, and I'm reasonably happy with it. It's still a little bit pink, which is nice, but we do miss that kind of bum 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 bum.
Yeah, there was a really lovely intro that made it seem professional when other people were there who we needed to impress when we did podcasts. But that's just gone. You just start.
So it just looks like we've turned up with a mobile phone.
The theatre has gone.
It has. So we'd like that back, please, Audio Boom.
Yeah. Listen, please.
But seeing we're talking about podcasts, we thought we'd all recommend a podcast.
Can I recommend mine first?
Well, you have done that, so go ahead.
I really like this podcast called Library Rant.
See, that sounds interesting.
I haven't heard of it.
No, it's these really enthusiastic people working at the Judge Business School in Cambridge talking about interesting things that are happening. And it's interesting things that are relevant not just to libraries, but people who are interested in teaching and learning and technology and all sorts of other things. And I would like to highly recommend it.
That's very nice. Excellent. Thank you. So I'm going to recommend Rahulastapa, which is what all the cool kids call it, which is Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast.
Rahulastapa.
Richard Herring is really good, but he kind of makes me feel very old because 90s comedians, Leon Herring, Fist of Fun, all of that stuff. It was just a brilliant time, and it was just the right time for me and my wife to be watching this stuff and really enjoying this stuff. And it was a moment in time. It's kind of... I don't know.
Are we talking nostalgia here now?
Yes,
I think
nostalgia.
It's a little nostalgic.
But at the same time, he's still funny, and he has some brilliant guests on it. Like, the top tier guests he has on that show.
Like?
I recommend it. Well, just like like Stephen Fry, around the Heart, Simon Pegg, really cool guests.
So does he have a shtick with his interviews? Like, are they just sitting around chatting, or what happens?
They ask lots of questions, but there's some questions that are quite frequently asked, which is, and one of them is a ham hand or an armpit that dispenses suntan cream. So each guest has
to choose. And then say why.
Yeah.
Which one did Stephen Fry choose?
I don't remember. That one kind of got
railed. I'd go for the
armpit
one. That would be much better. Although it'd be quite messy as well.
Now, okay, we have to choose now.
Okay, ham hand. Or suntan armpit.
Question. Is it a replenishing ham?
Oh, this is the question everyone asks.
Why it's such a good emergency question. Well done, Richard.
Am I going to run out of suntan?
Yeah, is it constantly oozing is the question.
Right, is there a gap? Because that's important.
Is it both armpits?
I think the answer is the ham replenishes over time.
Okay.
Over time.
Not instantly.
So if you needed to be fancy, you could carve it in the shape of a hand and put a glove on it and be good to go.
You could put some pineapple on the top.
But it's always there for a nibble.
But yes, in an emergency, you can just chew on your finger, right? So
when Mary Beard, the classicist, was on, she chose suntan cream from the armpit. Because she's... You find that hard to believe.
Because she's always going to Greece.
She's always going to Greece in
yes.
the country.
Yes,
for archaeology.
See? So archaeologists the armpit, need sunscreen.
But I
know this.
She did question the oozing factor.
I would want a cap on that.
Anyway, that's probably enough about Rahula Stipper. Matt, your favourite podcast.
I'm going to recommend Josie Long's Shortcuts, which is a weekly podcast at the moment based on a Radio 4 show she does. And it's... brief clips from radio documentaries from around the world. Very, very interesting. Always very good. Thoroughly recommended.
Okay, I've got two. Because it's my section, I can have two.
No, I have two.
First of all, I would like to recommend Welcome to Night Vale, which is a podcast that Georgina, our colleague, got me into. And it's set in a fictional, very weird US town, sort of the local radio show. Very odd. If you like slightly bizarre, surreal comedy, you'll probably like it. If you like UFO movies, it's right up your street. But what I really want to recommend is using podcasts for education. I've just started a distance learning degree, and a lot of what I'm doing, I'm being supported by podcasts that help explain the concepts, that introduce the reading, and I found them incredibly useful. The technology required for them is quite minimal, and you get quite a good result from even a cheap piece of equipment like a smartphone. So I'm really grateful that they're part of my course, and I think we should use them more. And definitely listen to Welcome to Night Vale. So that's our gadget of the week. So, Andy and I were talking to our MBAs a lot in the last few weeks.
Were we?
Yeah.
What are we talking about?
They're starting their first project. You were here, you remember.
Yeah.
The Cambridge Venture Project.
Are these the ones who said you were the cool couple?
These are the ones who called us the cool couple.
They were
couple.
Trying to pair
yeah.
us off.
Yeah, yeah. they were. Yeah. Yeah.
They're not going to get very far with
that.
But we were quite pleased to see that on the feedback.
So
we did tell them that they must treat us like mum and dad.
Yeah, so they shouldn't come to me and ask me to buy something. And when I say no, go to you and say,
because this happens every year. But we told them this year,
we're not,
don't
we're not
buying
do
it.
Don't do it.
Not even if it's only £16,000.
We'll smack the back of their legs, basically.
Yeah, put them over our knees.
Well,
I don't know if I can do that because they're all bigger than me.
Bigger than you.
Doesn't matter. If you're a mum, you can do it.
I shall if I need to. Mm-hmm. Just be warned. The MBA here at Cambridge Judge Business School is really hands-on and really enterprise-based. So the first project they do, they go out into a local company in Cambridge and they solve a real business problem, or they attempt to solve a real business problem. And for the first time, we were actually given the projects ahead of time. And some of them were really cool.
Really cool, though.
Oh, the one with the dirigible.
The dirigible project.
And I got to see
the
dirigible a lot, which
is
really nice.
It was fun.
Yeah, that's
the electric
word.
Car?
The electric racing car. Not just a solar-powered electric racing car.
Yeah.
So there are all these songs that I want to play while you're talking. I wanted to play Iggy Pop earlier, and
can
I want
you
to
sing
play...
them. Just sing them.
They Might Be Giants Electric Car.
Anything about airships.
Electric car. It's a really good song. You can edit that in, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We'll edit that in later, like we were talking about.
Yeah, so we were talking about
it. Let me do it
in post-production.
Yes.
Once we get back to the studio.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So, but what we did was at the start of the presentation, which is the sort of thing we always try and do something that's quite active and at the start of a lecture.
We do a lot of lectures.
Have another beer, sweetie.
Yeah, I will. Was that we thought we'd say hello to the different teams and get a shout out from the different teams around the class. Mm. And they loved it, didn't they?
Did.
Apart from the people who didn't get shout outs.
Yeah, but they were doing boring projects.
They sat and wept.
Did I say that? None of them are boring.
So had you never gotten the projects ahead of time?
No.
This was the first time.
Yeah, and in fact, 2 years ago, instead of one person coming to the information centre for information, they all came independently, and we thought, my God, everybody is doing their project this year on wood-burning stoves.
Yes!
But no, it was just one group.
Just one.
Just one. But these just seem particularly exciting this time. So the airship, the idea is it can land just about anywhere. It doesn't need a proper airport. It looks a bit like a bum. That's the only downside to it. You know, it does.
The airport looks like a bum.
No, the airship.
Oh, the airship.
The airship. Yeah, it's got a nice sort of cleft in the back. So yeah, a giant floating bum. I'm sure that's not. I'm sure
that's very Monty Python, actually. I'm sure Terry Gilliam animated that at some point. You could find it and use it as an illustration.
It's probably pretty close to the reality of it. So aside from it being a bit bum-shaped, I think it'll go far.
That bum's going places.
We delivered. We chose pictures which didn't have the bum showing.
We did, yes. Yeah, so slightly more the face of it than the.
But it's the bum.
There's independent cinema in there. There's a really cool project to do with body armour. You know, the rugby and American football players wear, mm-hmm. and possibly using it for old people as well. And the idea is that you have hip protection.
Oh, if they fall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you laughing at old people falling?
Cowboy.
That's a terrible metaphor.
That's awful. That's...
I'm just imagining my gran wearing an American football gear. Hi, gran. I know you're listening.
The great thing is, though, that there's a data chip in all of these things, so when they fall over and you pick them up again, you can find out exactly what happened.
Why it happened. What they were doing.
Yeah.
Reaching for a gypsy cream.
So next time we keep the gypsy creams closer to the universe, we learn something.
Can it give alerts? Can it, if it's got a...
well, you're about to fall up, perhaps when you reach a tipping point.
The gypsy cream's not near enough.
Proximity alert.
I meant to somebody...
Maybe the airship could come and get them.
The bum could come and get them.
The bum dirigible.
Yes, could give a signal to the dirigible.
To the electric car.
Oh.
The electric racing car.
To pick them up. This sounds very much like we're trivialising the plight of the isolated elderly. And I don't want to give that impression.
No, I don't. I think
no,
that.
No.
He's led us down this path. He's sullied us.
So what I just want to say is it's really cool that they gave you the projects ahead of time, because that allowed you to really engage with the work
exactly.
of the students. And I think that more
She's good.
Libraries who are actively embedded in the scholarship of their students and their faculty can do really interesting things. And if they just sort of assume that you're just going to come in at the last minute and give them a canned thing, I think it's... Wasn't it more interesting for the students?
Absolutely.
Weren't they
and
having
also,
a better time?
We also didn't demo any of the databases ourselves. We got them to come up
no,
and do it.
Which was a bit cruel, but fun.
It was very fun.
Yeah. Well, databases are cruel.
Yeah.
Moving swiftly. Oh.
Yeah.
That's my segue. Matt.
Matt was seriously silent.
Can I hear a horse in the distance?
The currency horse. Have we got a horse?
I don't know. Maybe a mosquito or a horse in the distance.
Yeah,
can I hear one?
I think he's quite a long way away.
Isn't it the currency punt?
It could be the currency punt.
It could be.
Look, I see it over there. It's over there in the camp.
Oh no, it's crushed into the bank.
I think he's coming. He's coming. Here we come.
Do we have a splash?
Oh no, it's the currency. Oh, no. Oh, he's on your head, Matt.
You didn't actually have to hit me. There's no video.
I'm just being authentic.
So what has the currency mosquito bought in its proboscis?
Oh, and it's wet, soggy proboscis. It's a Danish magazine. It's called
Klavu.
Not Revy.
No, not Revy, as I keep calling it. It's called Klavu.
Which
means review, I guess.
Is that a French ho? Is that like the back of your throat?
I can't do it properly. You do it.
No, I
no.
don't.
It's
no.
Danish. If only
I don't speak
Dane.
Danish. If only... Could we find a Dane? Is that...
There's,
we're in Cambridge.
There's a lot of them about.
There would be.
There was about 15 we had. we had 15 Danes.
we had to stack them, but luckily the Lego, so they actually rack up
it
nicely.
It worked quite well. Well, we had Danes this week to talk to them about communication strategy. Sorry, that sounds wrong.
It does. I'm so sorry.
Thanks to Donna. And there's an article that I'm bored about, but go see Hwavu.
Bless you.
Gesundheit.
And Klausen on Twitter, Christian Klausen, he edits it, and it's gorgeous.
It is. It's a beautiful
and
thing.
And we would love really a library magazine in this country, and I think we may have one at some point.
That would be good.
But what are we going to call it?
I can't remember. We're going to call it Smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord, that was it. Yes.
Smorgasbord.
Yeah. Smorgasbord.
I'm working on it. I've got some wireframes.
Good.
That's all we need.
Yeah. Got some authors lined up.
We just need a palette. A colour palette.
We just need lots of colour. Just lots of colour.
No. It's got to be certain.
We just need lots of monochrome.
Don't you understand?
No.
In fact,
the
palette quite here is quite good.
Oh, with the blues.
It looks
and
like
the khaki.
You know what that is?
Terracotta blue.
No, you know
it's quite judged.
That's the Gap.
I said
this is the Gap palette.
That is the Gap. That's the Gap palette right there.
Yeah,
Gap khaki.
I have that shirt as well.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I've gone off it.
Got to stop buying the same clothes then.
It looks like we might work for the same people.
I shop almost exclusively in charity shops these days.
Okay.
They don't have tiny people shops in the
I mean,
UK,
we've done
so
more than half an hour, so I'm kind of thinking...
It's time to end.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Oh, wait, okay.
Just from the listener's point of view, it was probably time to end 10 minutes ago.
Okay. I don't know, they might be enjoying it, Matt.
I've been a listener.
All right.
So thank you very much for joining us from the library round. This is Donna's...
This is Lyle music. Lovett. I've been to Memphis.
And now you're going to.
Bye.
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 Would you mention Sam Halford?
It's traditional we mention Sam Halford in the actual just Sam Halford, that's
okay.
All that matters.
You're not going to talk about Dindy.
I also mentioned...
Oh,
who's doing
the
owner? Susan Griffiths,
we mentioned Ned and Paul in his car.
Sarah Stamford, who might be in Dorset, she might not.
The sun comes up.
Libby, who's too busy to come to listen to
this. Happy birthday.
I've had enough, Lord, I can't believe what I see. How could you be alone? You can sit right here beside me.